David Angelo, 35 years old, and scared to death. He was a grown man, not 10 years old, but he couldn't help it. Lying in bed with the covers pulled up to his eyes, David was petrified. He just wanted to go to sleep. This was his first night in this creepy, musty-smelling house. The sound of an old man laughing just wouldn't stop, and it was getting louder and louder and louder. Then all of a sudden, the sound stopped. Then all David could smell was like the smell of mothballs, an awful sulfur smell, the smell of death, if this is what death smelled like. He saw something move from the corner of his eye. David closed his eyes real tight. He turned his head slow, opened his eyes, and on the bed next to him was what looked like to be an old dead man with eyes open, looking right at him. Half his face had some skin, the other half was skeleton. David closed his eyes again. When he reopened them, this time the skeletal figure was right over top of him, about an inch away from his face. The smell was unbearable. David couldn't breathe, but the skeleton figure had his bony hands around his throat. David felt like he was dying. He managed to jump up, run into the bathroom, only to notice it was daylight. He must have been having a nightmare. Then he looked into the mirror, and he had red finger-like choke marks around his neck. So it was real. It was very real. In 1998, I was doing a documentary on true ghost stories in the valley from the Ohio-Pennsylvania area. This story didn't make my documentary, even though I had planned on it to be on the documentary, but due to cash flow problems and production, and I had enough, I think, that I needed for the documentary, so I left this one out. But I had so many others like this one that I kind of wish I would have done a longer documentary, or maybe even part two. But a friend of mine said he had a cousin, and his cousin had a very interesting story. His cousin was a paralegal, David Angelo. He had an office in outside of Houston, Texas, and he had a job offering working for a law firm in Hermitage, PA. He was single. He got up and he moved to Hermitage, but under his budget, he could only afford so much for an apartment or a hotel. So he found an apartment in it was a townhouse in Hermitage, and he thought it looked kind of old from the outside. But he said, "Well, you know," he signed a 1-year lease, put $1,000 down, and so this is good enough. This will last him for a year, or maybe after next year, he can find something a little better. And once he knows the area more, he'll know where the opportunities were. Well, little did he know that the house he was about to move in was a living hell. The stories he told me were just totally unbelievable. But he stands by him to this day. 25 years later, he stands by him to this day that everything was real. When he first moved into the house, it started that first night, and then the second night, and then the third night. The third night was his final night. It was violent. So this wasn't a good ghost. It wasn't an orb. It was a demon. And this demon meant to cause harm on David. Bodily harm. The first day of work, he was late. Because he's not getting any sleep. And he told one of his co-workers that he could trust in that what was happening and where he was living. The gentleman says, "I know exactly where you're staying. That house has a bad history, and you need to get out of there." Well, this is where the story gets interesting. Working for the law firm and very good attorneys at this law firm, they tried to get him out of his lease. The landlord was no way, no how, going to let David out of this lease. So David took it to his law partners, and the judge had ruled that, well, you know, he signed the lease, and he has to live up to that lease. Well, the word got around the courthouse that there was an offer from David to the judge. If you could stay in that house for 1 hour at night, I will pay him the full year's lease and payments, monthly payments. 1 hour. Well, the judge laughed off, says he's not going to do that. The law is the law. Well, once word got around that the judge was a chicken, so to speak, to spend 1 hour in this house, the judge said what he would do, and there was a lot of bets going on whether the judge would spend the 1 hour or he would be out. And the judge, as a joke, you know, he went over there, and I don't know if it was a joke or not, because it, supposedly if he spent that hour in that house, then David would have to pay that year's lease. So the judge went over to the house, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. And you had probably, and once this hit the local residents and people from the law firm that what the judge was doing, a crowd formed outside the house. And it was a little bit of a popular situation in Mercer. So about 10:45, The judge comes out of the front door. The judge did not spend an hour in the house. 10:45, the judge came out, looked at David's attorneys and said, "Burn this house," and walks away. David didn't have to pay his yearly lease or down payment or anything. And also, I guess as legalities go, the house failed so many code violations asbestos, electrical, plumbing, that it was unsafe to be lived in. I don't know if that was made up or falsely made up, or was it actual. But I do know at 10:45, the judge exited the house and did not return. As the story goes, they did tear the house down. It was demolished. And rumor has it that one of the construction workers that or from the demolition crew end up having almost the same stories happen to him after he went back home. Now, did this spirit, this evil demon, jump into this construction worker's body? Or what? The story never made my mini DVD documentary on ghosts in the valley. But I wish it would have. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another interesting story, Ghost in the Valley.